Live from Tampa Bay, USA, this is The Good News on Glenn Klein Online. Beautiful humans, this is Glenn Klein Online. It's hump day, Wednesday, June 20th, 2012, the only first day of summer 2/12 in the history of humanity.
Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game.
She's walking. Hello, loves, I love you. Let me tell you my name. It's Glenn Klein Online on this Wednesday night, coming to you live from the Bay of the Holy Spirit, the Tampa Bay region. The original name of Tampa Bay, Florida, was the Bay of the Holy Spirit, the Bay of the Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew. And please say hello to another person that we love, we adore, the engineer, producer, and call screener extraordinaire of The Good News on Glenn Klein Online, Mr. Sean O'Halloran. Sean!
Hello.
I love you. You've got to answer the phone. Sean, taking your calls tonight at 1-800-436-3260. That is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline all over North America. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening worldwide, and it's about straight up 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America, that is your cue to give us a call. We would love to hear from you tonight as well. The direct line into the studio here is 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. Much to cover tonight. As always, lots of good news to bring your way here on this radio effort, but we really want to hear from you. You guys can always email us as well, your questions, your comments, your insights at radio@glennklineonline.com. All one word, Glenn Klein, GLENNKLEIN, online.com. radio@glennklineonline.com. Well, approaching week number two. For finishing week number two without any nicotine. Sean, very happy with that because, frankly, I used to light up in studio to satisfy the nicotine cravings and the urges. So that's good news. One of the things that we are dedicated on this radio program is to present as good a news as possible. Just did a radio interview. You guys that go to the homepage and listen to the show, you see all the featured segments pop up. Just did a featured segment with Linda Ray Cameron, an appreciation specialist, really inspirational and just a great lady, talking about just having an attitude of gratitude. And that's what we try to project and try to portray on this radio program. Had a great phone call this afternoon from a guy back in the churchianity days, John Corcoran, who was a pastor in Wisconsin. You guys may have remembered his name coming up in the discussion of our precious girl Naomi's suicide that happened a couple of months ago. John was the person that introduced Steve and Danae, Naomi's parents, to Mike Williams. And Steve and Danae are the ones that introduced me to Mike. And so I was actually calling John to find out how Steve and Danae were doing. And then John had no idea what had gone down with me and Mike. So we had a long talk about that. And we talked about the gospel, and it was the saving of our souls. And it was a beautiful discussion. And I noticed last week on the webcast, listening to the archive of last week's webcast, how many times I used the phrase, one of the most powerful things that we learned from Michael. I may be articulating that phrase on an ongoing basis for the near future. But this is one of the difficult things about what has gone down here with the divorce heard around the world. Between me and Michael, is that so much of what I've learned to be good news, to be the truth, I learned from my friend Mike Williams. And we literally have not spoken since this all went down. And so the revelation and the understanding of the gospel goes forward, but it don't go forward the way it did. I mean, you guys who read the newsletter that Mike sent out last week, as one gospel revolutionary sent to me, they said, what a bunch of gobbledygook. Now, there was incredible power in some of the statements that Mike made, but he needs an editor. And I was that editor for, well, every word that was ever put on the Gospel Revolution homepage, the website, every word that will be in Mike's upcoming book, one, The Gospel According to Mike, your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host edited. And Mike was always amazed how in sync we were as far as the gospel is concerned. And I understood exactly what Michael was trying to portray to his readers. Well, that all went by the wayside a few weeks ago. So here we are, still out there plugging, teaching, encouraging with that which, frankly, we initially learned from Michael L. Williams. And it's a challenge to be, frankly, treated as poorly publicly as he treated me, and yet knowing that the truth that resides in my heart and that has gotten me through to this point in my life was initially given to me from him. So we're going to go forward to that and proclaim that and embrace that and celebrate that. And I hope you appreciate that as we continue on here on the Good News on Glenn Klein Online. If you want to talk about that, about the situation that happened with me and Mike and the Gospel Revolution or anything else dealing with good news, any questions, any comments, any criticisms, just give us a call. Sean's waiting to take your call at 1-800-436-3260, 800-436-3260, 813-425-5773 is the direct line all over the world. Would love to hear from some of you guys that are logged on live all over the planet tonight. 813-425-5773. We're going to be talking about the subject of our newsletter that went out today, If There Is a God, and the comments that Bill O'Reilly made from Fox News based on a letter that one of his viewers sent in, which was commenting on the trial that is going on with Jerry Sandusky and the former Penn State football coach who's on trial for the molestation of 10 alleged victims. We are having some what are you throwing up your arm, Sean? Talk into the microphone. You can talk into the microphone. People, here's the phone ringing. Okay, well, let's get her on. We do have a caller. But what I was telling you guys, especially you guys around the world that haven't heard the story, if you listen to this show, we've mentioned it from time to time. But Jerry Sandusky was an assistant football coach at Penn State, one of the larger football powerhouses in the United States. And he has been accused, very specifically accused, of molesting a bunch of young boys that he was involved in a charity that he started. A lot of pretty solid evidence. And his case went to the jury today. His defense rested. And one of Bill O'Reilly's, of course, they've been covering it all over the news here in the United States. You guys have probably seen it. And one of Bill O'Reilly's viewers said that Jerry Sandusky will never get what he deserves. And O'Reilly's comment was, he will if there is a God. And so we had our comments about that on the newsletter. We're going to be talking about that as the good news on Glenn Klein Online rolls on. But before we do, we heard from her briefly last week, and we're so glad she called back. Please welcome from the great city of Hotlanta, Georgia, the very lovely Deb Bronz. Deb! Deborah. Hello. Deb was there, and now she's not. Maybe on a different line? Well, Deb, we're going to ask you to call her back. Hello? Oh, she hung up. And he hung up. Deb, please call back. Having some technical difficulties here on night number three of the good news on Glenn Klein Online. Well, it gives us an opportunity to... it's going to be a really long show if we can't take calls, brother. Oh, she's got a... Oh, here she's calling again. We can take calls. It's apparently Deb's cell phone. Let's put her right on. Here's Deborah Bronz from Atlanta, Georgia. Deborah! Deb, you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
There you are. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Thank you. I have come, so I'm once again in the laundry room.
Well, it could be worse. You could be in the doghouse, if you know what I mean.
Yes, that's true.
Kind of like I am with the Gospel Revolution, but we won't talk about that. Well, I guess we will. What's going on? What is on your heart, your mind, your soul this evening?
Well, I mean, we were talking about the Crepo dollar.
Yeah, what has happened this week? We haven't heard much nationally. Of course, he defended himself last week. We have that. If you guys haven't heard that show, just go to the archive from last week.
He did. I guess he did defend himself, and I guess he was being a parent, using the that reasoning, and I think that resonates with that crowd, that he was, taking charge. And I had mentioned this one woman that came to our house church last week. What I didn't mention is that, this whole crowd there, it's very macho.
You think?
Even the house church that we went to, it was all black, and even though they tried really hard to, let women have a voice, I think that is part of the black church which many of the fellows came out of, so I think that, this woman that came to our fellowship, she had been castigated because they felt that she was not submissive enough to her husband, and that was the root of all of her problems, her failure to tithe and her failure to get a job after her husband left her, and et cetera, et cetera. So it was just all pretty nasty thing, and she came to our church about 3 weeks, and even though we tried to comfort her, I think that she felt, I think she eventually went back to the group, and that was her default religion, her default ideology.
Yes,
And with these mega churches, you have so much company.
That is for sure. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're talking with Deb Bronz in Atlanta, who's got some firsthand experience with the situation with Creflo Dollar that came out last week. Deborah, how accurate do you think it is, or how fair do you think it is to say that that is something that came out of the black church, or that the black church was affected and influenced by the white church and the patriarchal structure that, frankly, has been evangelical Christianity for 2,000 years now?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have roots in the black church, so I can't speak for that. I don't know, but I do know that what I've seen in the white, you know, I come from, Bob Jones crowd. Okay. Need I say more?
Not really. For those of you that are listening around the world that might not be familiar with Bob Jones, why don't you let the beautiful humans in on that little sect of Christianity?
Oh, my God. That was back in the 70s. And Bob Jones was, we had to wear long skirts. And, of course, during certain times of day, could be hand-holding, but it, very fundamentalist. And I've really put that so far in the past that it's really hard to even, characterize it right at this point. But very right-wing, right, you know, this whole conservative 1950s.
Right, right-wing, Christian, conservative. And now this Bob Jones University, you guys, is not a small deal in the United States. I mean, presidential candidates go there and have gone there to speak and to get approved by whoever is the grand poobah there. I mean, Bob Jones is long gone, isn't he?
The original, yeah.
Yeah. So,
but the third, I think he's still at the helm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does a woman named Deb Bronze eventually make her way from Bob Jones University to being free?
Well, I was involved with the Way International back in the late 70s. That's how I met my husband. And it was actually, it saved my life, I have to say, at that point in time. Although over the course of several years, I saw it become more institutionalized. And this was actually early on, it had been criticized for being a cult, and I would say early on, it was very uncult-like. But of course, the views were quite unorthodox, and I think that's what gave it the label. But as time progressed, Did you have a question?
No, go ahead.
Okay. As time progressed, I think it became very top-down, and I guess they thought they had a good thing and maybe make it a better thing by putting the screws to leadership. And of course, you know, some people were affected. Now, my husband and I, we sort of were in the periphery of the whole deal, and we didn't drink all the Kool-Aid. Okay. There were probably some people that drank more of the Kool-Aid, that had drunk more of the Kool-Aid than we had. But, at that point in my life, I think it was a good thing. And when we left, it was time.
Right.
So where
are you and your husband right now on your spiritual journey? What have you concluded about Christ and about the gospel?
Well, I love Jesus. And right now, my views on Jesus are, in flux. I think that Christians have made him look pretty bad on the whole.
Christianity has made Yeshua, has made Jesus, look as feckless and as impotent a savior. Imagine saying that 90% of the people that he came to redeem ain't going to make it because somehow the devil blinded those people's eyes from being able to come and accept Christ. You understand that the interpretation of the gospel by Christianity is so far-fetched and so polluted that it really begs the question of if it was done on purpose to keep people away from the understanding that they are redeemed, that they are whole, that they are heaven-bound, that there is no hell, that there is nothing but righteousness and perfection in the future for every single person that ever walks the face of the earth.
If only we can just live it, you know?
Well, we're living it.
Deborah,
Do not be bashful. We got to go now, honey. But stay logged on and call often, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
And we'd love to hear from Mr. Bronze at some point as well, if he wants to call in.
Okay.
But have this be an ongoing discussion, all right?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
There goes Deb Bronze from Atlanta, Georgia. Really appreciate her calling. Now that line is available to you at 813-425-5773 all over the world. 813-425-5773 or toll free in North America, 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Now let us go to our senior correspondent from the great state of Ohio, Cincinnati to be specific. Let us hear from Mr. Greg Amberge. Gregory!
Luke Klein, how's it going?
Gregory, I am doing wonderfully. Thank you for caring enough to ask. You are one of the few that have cared enough to ask over these last several weeks. Kind of surprising.
That's what I understand.
Say that again?
That's what I understand.
Yeah, it's pretty much sucked. Since all this went down, we're doing good. We're talking to wonderful people like Deb Bronze tonight, and talking about the good news, and being real with the beautiful peeps.
Keeping it real.
That's exactly right. So did you read the email, the newsletter today about what Bill O'Reilly said?
I did. I'm going to have to admit. I get the incredible, like, heebie-jeebies just looking at Jerry Sandusky's picture or hearing him talk, just because of this whole ordeal. I've actually been turning off the news when it came on this week because they were covering that trial. I just didn't want to hear about it.
You guys, you just go to Gospel Revolution. Go to GlennGlideOnline.com. You can sign up for the newsletter. Jerry Sandusky and Bill O'Reilly's pictures are side by side on the newsletter today. Jerry Sandusky is a really creepy looking guy, given what he's being accused of. That's for sure. How much do you feel you would have less of the heebie-jeebies if he was a lot more attractive and younger and cuter?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I don't know. That's the one crime that just. I mean, I understand that he's righteous and perfect in the sight of God. I understand that, but it's the one of the few things that just makes me want to punch somebody.
I'd like to punch him.
I'm being quite honest about it.
It's interesting that these guys often fit the bill, their appearance, and he does. I mean, go ahead.
Is that this week in Texas, a young 23-year-old father was stopped by one of his farmhands that a 40-some-year-old man had taken his daughter and carried her against her will, his like 5-year-old daughter, back to another barn. And that 23-year-old heard her screaming and ran back there and found the guy sexually abusing her, and he beat him to death.
Right.
And I kind of went, yeah, okay, I'm with you. I'd have done the same thing. And they decided that today they said they weren't going to bring any charges against him.
It's amazing that common sense reigns somewhere in America.
Yes. So it's one thing I think to understand that the gospel does certain things for us. It's another thing to understand that when you do a crime like that, you're going to have to deal with the, as you said in your email, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and Jerry Sandusky's case. Or the ire of a 23-year-old father what witnessed you raping his daughter.
His 4-year-old daughter. I think one of the things that we're challenged with the gospel is how much effect that the gospel will have on one's soul and the continuation of the teaching of guilt and condemnation and judgment, how much that causes guys like Sandusky to go further than they would. We've talked about this many times, about how serial killers are almost universally from very strict religious backgrounds because they think, well, I killed one. What the hell's the difference? I'm going to hell. I'm going to burn forever in punishment. I might as well just go for it. And
yeah, I think that would be an interesting study. I think Mike mentioned a couple years ago that he had gone and read the background of several serial killers and found that to be true. The world we live in has a lot of injustice in it. It has a lot of brutality and cruelty. But as you pointed out to me many times, the arc of humanity is toward freedom and enlightenment and those sorts of things. You can see it throughout history, and so we still have things that are just contemptible, but I think mankind is moving toward a better place.
Well, and we know we are as a species, but let's deal directly with Bill O'Reilly, because his viewer said that Jerry Sandusky will never get what he deserves. Now, one could argue that if he goes away for the rest of his life, which he very well may, he probably will, that there is some justice there. I would argue that the people that he perpetrated those crimes against, the young boys, will never be able to get justice. I think there'll be some closure there for them. I think there'll be some sense of satisfaction that the system and the people finally did listen to them. But pedophilia, you guys, is a sexual orientation. This is not something you can change. It's just like heterosexuality or homosexuality or bisexuality or transgender. These are things that people have. I mean, it's just part and parcel with who they are. And so for these young men to have any sense of justice is going to have to come from the fact that they know that shit happens in life. And, yeah. and this is where the gospel is so beautiful. First of all, as the viewer wrote to Bill O'Reilly that Sandusky will never get what he deserves, and O'Reilly's ignorant religious response was, he will if there is a God. Now, Bill O'Reilly, Greg, is a self-professed Catholic. He is also a self-professed cultural warrior in the United States. And we know that O'Reilly has been involved with some really bizarre stuff behind the scenes that he had to have an out-of-court settlement with. He almost lost his gig at Fox for that. But
I've forgotten about that.
Yes, let's recall that. But having said that, whatever O'Reilly was doing, whatever he does, O'Reilly, Jerry Sandusky, is as perfect and righteous and as holy and as sanctified and as redeemed as Yeshua himself. That is the message of the gospel, you guys. That's the good news. The good news is that everybody is perfect in God. Everybody's going to heaven. God is not going to. God is out of the judgment business. God is not going to judge. What?
When I first came to the gospel many years ago, I remember every time I try to share it with somebody, they'd always say the same thing. What would they always say? What about
Hitler?
Hitler. Everybody brought up Hitler.
Right.
What about Hitler?
Right.
And when I finally got to the place where I said, yeah, I believe Hitler was redeemed. When I could get there and just say that without flinching, and it took a while, then I knew I was starting to really get the gospel. And when you can say Jerry Sandusky, with all that he did is righteous in the sight of God. That's a powerful statement.
Right, and it is a powerful statement. It's a powerful gospel, you guys. It's a powerful good news.
Yes, it is.
Jerry Sandusky did nothing compared to the sin of humanity. I mean, he was a human being who really screwed up big time.
Yeah, and there's no doubt in my mind that probably when Jerry Sandusky was a boy, he was a Catholic and an altar boy. I feel very strongly that Jerry Sandusky was molested when he was a little kid.
I have no doubt about it. And and we know, you guys, we know this, that the abused become the next round of abusers. The only way to stop it is for people to understand that those that perpetrated the crimes and the abuse on them and the people who received the abuse nobody was at fault in the eyes of God. This will cause the snowball to stop growing and to stop becoming so huge and enormous.
Yes.
Well, we cannot have any better news for everybody out there that there's nobody that would support the legal process more than Greg or me in wanting to see justice done to Jerry Sandusky. I mean, we have this
right.
very close and personal with the story of Mike and Audrey and his son-in-law, Jason. This is how
right.
we learn so much about pedophilia. It's a sexual orientation, you guys. But the abused become the abusers. And whether somebody – and what Girma has done such a good job in challenging us, Girma Colston, with challenging us on this whole issue of can grace believers or people that understand the gospel still act in a heinous way? The answer, of course, 100% guaranteed, take it to the bank, is yes, we can, to quote a famous political campaign. And we've seen it just very recently in our neck of the woods, haven't we, young man?
Yes, we have. Yes.
Yeah, it's a shame, but we go forward, and I cannot thank you enough and appreciate enough you calling on me here on the webcast.
Glenn, the gospel is a great thing.
No doubt. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes.
It certainly is.
It's not salvation, you guys, that causes you to have a right relationship with God. It's salvation that causes your brain on an ongoing basis to realize you already have a right relationship with God. The gospel is not information to be stored. It is information to be active. It would be like thinking this. The gospel's, I call the gospel a bath brain. A bath for your brain. You guys, if somebody, Sean, did you take a shower today?
I did.
You gonna take one tomorrow?
Thinking about it.
Okay, and why will you take one today and also tomorrow, Sean?
It's a good question.
Because you have discovered a shower yesterday doesn't work for today.
Because I'm a dirty, dirty boy.
Because you are a nasty, dirty boy. And that's how the gospel is, you guys. The gospel is for the cleansing of the soul, for the renewing of the mind. It doesn't work if you just had it stored from 3 years ago, from 3 weeks ago, even from yesterday. And even great teachers of the gospel who know this stuff can fall victim to not having it be active in their life if they're taking on more information at any given moment than the good news. It cannot be said any better than that. Hallelujah to you.
Well, Glenn, I have to run.
Where are you running?
I'm running. It's none of your business.
You got a gig tonight?
No, I don't.
All right. What's her name? Thanks, Gregory.
I'll talk to you later.
Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
There's Greg Amberge, the senior Cincinnati, Ohio correspondent. And speaking of the very incredibly genius mind of Michael Williams, we're going to go to the Best of Mike segment right now. This is, let me tell you exactly what happened. This was many months ago. We heard incredibly from our dear brother Ron Fox, who had called on one of the early webcasts of the Gospel Revolution back in probably 2006 or 2007. And it talked about killing himself. And after about a half an hour conversation right here in the studio, I told Ron to follow his heart, that God would not be upset. He'd go directly to heaven. Eventually, a couple weeks later, Ron called back, said that he wasn't going to kill himself because he wanted to hang around for the benefit of his children and grandchildren. And then we didn't hear from Ron for years. We would talk about him all the time, about the importance of following your heart and how he would recommend it to this guy named Ron, who had called the show and was thinking about killing himself because he felt it was in his family tradition, and it had been a pattern in his family. And then, lo and behold, Ron Fox called the radio show, and we talked about the oppression that he had been under, and the thoughts of suicide that he had been dealing with. And well, let's go to the music. for the Best of Mike segment, and we're going to hear Kate Benham proclaim that she's not a Christian, and then we're going to hear the segment from Mike. I'll come back and talk to you, but let's hear let's hear Kate Benham with "I Am Not a Christian." We're so happy to be able to report to you guys tonight, as Kate does in the song, that we are also not Christians. Love the Mashiach, love the Christ, love the gospel, honor the scriptures, but we are not Christians.
I believe the world is won, I am not a Christian. I believe the battle's won, I am not, and I believe the kingdom's come, I am not a Christian. One light lit up everyone, I am not a Christian.
All right, so just to reset this up, we're talking about suicide. We're talking with our dear brother, Ron Fox, and Michael and I had that day been talking about the whole issue of suicide, to what you're saying. Michael, you and I were just talking about this mindset today, weren't we, afternoon?
Yeah, because, you know, my heart up to run so tremendously because I had been literally had an obsession with suicide. As a child, from as early as I could possibly remember, I went through 3 attempts of suicide. The thoughts never left me, and I was telling Glenn, I know I was past 50 years old. Now I'm 59 now, I'm about 60, and I know that when I went through this family tragedy in 2005. That I definitely had still had those thoughts as a possible solution to the pain that I was experiencing at the time. But I just became aware, Ron, just recently, of a long time. Years have now passed, and suicide does not come to my mind anymore during any type of crisis, and I've had several. The removal of that from your thinking is nothing less than the saving of your soul, and you can't do anything to get it out.
That's exactly right. There's nothing you can do to get out thoughts of suicide, you guys. You just got to let the gospel do its work, and trust that it will be to the saving of your soul.
I lit up from Reno, I was trailed by 20 hands. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Sit out, my mother, take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
It's Glenn Klein Online. It's the good news on Glenn Klein Online, and inviting you to give us a call at 1-800-436-3260, 813-425-5773 all over the globe. 800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline all over North America. Well, the thing about the gospel, you guys, is it's not like, you know, a mantra. It's not like the word of faith, confession. You don't know how the gospel is going to work. You just know it's going to work to the saving of your soul. And regardless of what you're facing, that is what the gospel is for, to get you through in an emotionally stable way, relatively stable way, to get you through whatever you're facing. You're going to face some crap in your life. Shit happens. Everybody has suffering. Everybody has loss. But the amazing thing about the good news, when continually, persistently, and repetitively dealt with in your brain, in your thinking, in your discussion, it will save your soul. Your position with God never changes. You are perfect and righteous and holy. That is an established fact. That was prophesied by the Hebrew prophets. It was fulfilled by the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Christ, 2,000 years ago. That's fact. Whether you know it, believe it, like it or not, you are perfect and righteous and holy and one with Almighty God. Sorry. Deal with it. But the knowledge of that can continually stabilize your thinking and your emotions to the point where the guy who taught me this, who screwed me in the butt without any lubricant a couple of weeks ago, publicly, his teaching is the thing that is getting me through to this day. Do I sound like I'm getting through, Sean? Was that a bit much?
But you're not bitter, right?
I'm not bitter at all. I'm just telling it like it is. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online. We like to share the good news, ladies and gentlemen. We like to share that you can actually be benefited by somebody that loves you so much that they publicly humiliate you and then still continue to promote and bless and thank them for everything that they've done in your life. Another gentleman who is done so much in my life in so many beneficial ways is now not on the line. Can we call him? Is he there? Great. Steve Trueblood calling us from Maui, Hawaii. Blood!
Brother Klein, how are you?
Have you been listening to this diatribe?
I have.
I think you will enjoy our music coming to you live right here from the Bay of the Holy Spirit Studios, known as Glenn Klein Online. This is our theme music as we talk to Steve Trueblood, the founder of HempFest Maui 2012.
Don't criticize it.
Peter Tosh.
Legalize it, yeah, yeah. And I will advertise it. Some call it
tampee.
Some call it the weed.
The weed. What do you guys call it in Maui?
We call it medicine.
We call it medicine. You know, I posted this song on Glenn Klein. old habits are hard to break, Steve.
Yeah.
On the Glenn Klein Online Facebook, and it was amazing how many people posted that they had medicinal benefits from the medicine.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. Today, I read somewhere, I don't remember where, but the DEA was defending heroin against marijuana now. That heroin had more medical benefits than marijuana. So who knows what they're doing, but we're taking things in our own hands.
What are you doing? Before we get into what you're doing there in Maui and how you ended up in Maui, we want to encourage you guys, if you got some good news regarding hemp, or regarding the medicine, you can give us a call at 813-425-5773. Sean is waiting, willing, and able to take your calls. I'd love you to join the participation in the show tonight. 800-436-3260 is toll-free number. 1-800-436-3260. All right, so many moons ago, years ago, Steve,
yeah,
I developed what looked like some very dry skin above my right eyebrow.
Okay.
And I tried everything. I tried all kinds of over-the-counter stuff. I tried aloe. I tried tanning. I tried no tanning. I tried some very strong prescription stuff that I got. Nothing helped. And then on YouTube, I saw a story of a guy that had skin cancer all over his face, had it removed, and it all came back. And his dermatologist wanted to give him this cream that he told him just use it on the weekends only. And the guy wanted to know why he should only use this particular cream that was prescribed by his dermatologist just on the weekends. And so he looked it up, and he found out that it was actually chemotherapy in a tube, and that it burned the crap out of your face. And so he decided that he did not want to burn the crap out of his face. So he did a little bit more research and had heard and had seen some very beneficial results from hemp oil or hashish oil on the skin. And so
he erased it in 21 days, and in time-elapse photography, he showed the cancer on his nose disappeared in 21 days.
That's what this guy did. So I contacted a medicinal supplier in the great state of California, got me some hashish oil, and I would say over about the course of 3 or 4 weeks, that lesion, which I am sure was skin cancer, disappeared and has not come back.
There you go. And people should understand that's not what is referred to as hemp oil, which is, you know, the commercial product. This is actually more like a hash oil in a tube. Most it comes like in a tube, but it's very sticky and very hashy, and it works wonders for that, for other cancers. And they ran, that's Rick Simpson is the guy. So if people want to look it up, you can just Google Rick Simpson. Run from the cure. But it's just another instance where, you know, Big Pharma has kept cures from us, and organic traditional cures from us, in order to push their agenda.
Why do they do that?
You know, I ask myself often, because they're susceptible to the same negative effects of their actions that we are. I mean, they're children, they're people that they love dearly. It's just, you know, it's part of human nature to become so blinded in your idiocy, your love. I don't know, whatever your motivation is to be hungry for the money or whatever it is. People get lost in it, and then they do horrific things to us. And, you know, hemp is probably the poster child of one of the things that the 99% suffered at the hands of the 1% when they tried to eradicate hemp and cannabis from the face of the earth in 1936. So it's, you know, these things have happened over and over and over again, both in you know, religiosity and in the commercial world, and it's time for us to stand up and say we don't like it if we don't like it.
Well, there's been a lot of positive movement on the whole issue of decriminalization and legalization and medicinal marijuana. This is Glenn Klein Online, taking your calls at 813-425-5773 or 1-800-436-3260. If you want to get in on the conversation, 800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. Talking with Steve Trueblood from Maui, Hawaii, the founder of HempFest 2012 in Maui. And we're going to be talking about that. Steve is an old friend of your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host. And did you hear the beginning of the radio show tonight?
I think I heard it, yes.
Did you hear that I talked to John Corcoran today?
Oh, no, I didn't hear that.
I talked to John Corcoran today, another old Christian minister buddy of ours from Wisconsin who now lives in Colorado and has gotten freed from Christianity. Why don't you give the beautiful humans, Steve, a little background on what your history is, and take a few minutes and how you end up in Maui.
Sure.
How do you go from being on the 700 Club with Pat Robertson to being in Maui, Hawaii, promoting the legalization of hemp?
Well, what's really interesting is that in 1980, when I was living in Wausau, Wisconsin, and I had just gotten a new job to move to Janesville for Shopko, and I did a hemp fest in Wausau. And 2 weeks before it took place, the county rescinded our permit. And so we had to sue the county in federal court. And halfway through, we realized we weren't going to win the battle. And so my attorney was also the attorney for Gene Meschetti, who was the head of the Posse Comitatus. And so we ended up doing it on their property. And we had every news channel there from, you know, from the whole Midwest. So this is 30-some years later.
Wait, you did a hemp fest? In 1980, on the grounds of the Posse Comitatus in Wisconsin?
Right. I don't know if you remember the history, but just really...
Tell the people who the Posse Comitatus are.
Well, Posse Comitatus is a very right-wing, constitutional, fundamental, carry weapons. They got a lot of...
They're a right-wing militia group, basically.
Right. So, but anyway, they had a bunch of property up in Tigerton Dells in northern Wisconsin that the state took back because they didn't pay their taxes. They took it, and over the 2 years in the court battle, the state decided they would get the upper hand by developing the land into this recreational area, so surely the court wouldn't, you know, side against them. And so they put all this money and build this band shell and all this stuff, campgrounds, and then they lost it in court, and the posse got it back. And so they told us, we disagree totally with anything to do with marijuana, but we respect your First Amendment rights. So they guarded the place, literally had guns on all around the area. We had a huge table full of pot so people didn't have to travel with their own pot. We had everything there and a bunch of... We had one of the first heavy metal bands. First time I saw a heavy metal band was in 1980. So there you go. That was 30 years ago. But I went through some radical changes, as you well have heard, Glenn, many times, but I went through some spiritual changes. And it's kind of like, for me, it was kind of like flying an airplane where there were necessary adjustments in my life, and some of them were huge adjustments in my life, but they came in such a way that it brought me, I mean, I might have got deviated in my route on the way here, but I got to the right place. And the right place is recognizing that I am spirit, that I am light, that I am energy, that I am God, that I'm not just God-like, but God resides in me.
Right.
And therefore, I walk in all the attributes of the kingdom of heaven right here in my heaven. And my purpose in this is to try to affect things in a way that I think are good for what I think is right.
Right. Well, I always wondered in these many years since coming out of Christianity, what part do they not understand and do we not understand when Yeshua literally said that my kingdom is not of this world and my kingdom will not be seen with the human eye? How hard is that to get?
Well, I mean, we got to see all the way through it. And I'm cautious because in a lot of what we believe wholeheartedly, you know, in other things as we do now and what we believe now. So I get a little cautious because I don't ever want to plant the 10 stakes too deep in case there's other revelation in front of me, you know, that changes what I believe now too. And that's what I think really what we lose in the church is the free will to flow with the Spirit. And some of them do for a while and they affect things in good positive ways. And then I think it was Cole, what's the guy, Chuck Cole, old preacher that said they take the word and the word turns into revelation, then it turns into organization, then fossilization and crystallization. You know, so it's trying to build something on top of something that wasn't meant to be built on. And it's more something that we embrace and walk along with, and we don't get to control it. And like our good friend said, Steve Dean, and sitting in Brother Dale's house, the seeds of apostasy is only within every move of God. And as soon as man takes control, it gets weird. And we've seen good things go really bad because people took control. And usually the women suffer the consequences of it because they end up having to, you know, be stuck in a man-dominated religion. But we've made a lot of changes in our lives. Obviously, you're online doing what you're doing, I'm doing what I'm doing, because we're making a lot of changes in our world. And we've got a bunch of children who represent the understanding of free will and free choice in their lives. And they, you know, they get to see what it takes to make those choices, that it's not just as easy as doing whatever you want. You know, it's a blend, a balance of, there's another word, the balance. It's got to be a balance, but it's... You know, it's personal responsibility, it's intellect, it's all these, it's spirit, it's energy, it's all this inside of us.
All right, so a few months ago, how long have you been in Maui now? A few months ago, you moved from Chicago.
3.5 months.
All right, so you're going on 4 months, and what did you find when you made the decision to move from the Midwest to the great island of Maui?
I came here 14 years ago to a wedding and been scheming my way back ever since. It was kindred spirits for me that... I found a lot of people who believed in a lot of things that I believed in. The last time even, it was Aloha Spirit, and so it really drew me. And so this time I broke up in a relationship and I had to move. And I thought, this is it. The kids were almost left in the house with their mom, and I thought this was a good time to go and make my fortune and change the world. So here I am. I got here and I saw the sugar cane growing. And then I found out that they burn the sugar cane before they harvest it. And it puts all this putrid smoke into the air. They actually burn the plastic pipes, the irrigation pipes with it. And a bunch of people get sick from it. And it's sugar. And I thought, this is crazy. We need to be growing hemp here. And so I started asking people and talking about it. And about a good month ago, I decided to do the 2012 Maui Hemp Fest. And to promote it, I'm doing a 14-day horse ride around the island to visit all the communities. And I'm going to have a horse for me and then a horse with a wagon with a bunch of hemp products in it. And hopefully a few celebrities riding with me. We just got our first celebrity on board yesterday, but I'm not going to tell you who it is until their text shows up. they told me that they his agent sent back and said the check's in the mail today, but I didn't want to ask how much, so I'll be surprised when it shows up, whatever it is. So, but it's a lot. I mean, I'm dealing with something that's about a 99% popularity. People hate sugar cane; they love hemp.
When you say hemp, are you talking about just the commercial application of hemp? Are you talking about harvesting it to smoke as well?
No, first step is commercial. They have 5,000 acres of sugar cane, and they want to convert it to something else. So the first step is legalizing and promoting commercial hemp. And then this island pretty much has, for the most part, legalized cannabis. For the most part, people seldom get busted unless they're growing a lot. And even then, they seldom get busted around here. If you want to grow it or smoke it, like most places in the world, you can do it. But this place is so jungly that you can get away with it a lot easier.
Is that a Hawaiian word, jungly?
Jungly, that's an official word. Where I live in Haiku, we've had rain for 2.5 days straight. And then I hitchhike out and I go 6 miles down in Paia, and it's beautiful and sunny. So it's really cool living in a rainforest. So that's what we're doing. We're going to try to convince the people of Maui to be the first municipality to legalize and promote commercial hemp development. And we're going to take a very destructive plant and leave it as part of the heritage, like tobacco and Edgerton and whaling and Lahaina. And we're going to move on to something that makes a lot more sense again for our nation.
You've got a great news release that you sent me. Do you have a website or a Facebook, or what's up with that?
Website is getting up and running. I'm getting lots of help from around the area. I just met with the artist who's doing. My first T-shirt on the front says Free Hemp, and underneath it says see the back for details. And when you look on the back, it has the logo for the thing, for the event, and then it says get involved, and I'll have the website and the email on that. So that's the next step. We're going to use whatever money comes in from the check in the mail to get that in the works. And then I've been meeting with a lot of other people that want to get involved. This is going to be true grassroots politics, which, as you know, for the political parties is advertising on cable. But for us, this is going to be true grassroots where people can do as much or little as they want to do. And if you just want to come to the event, that's cool. If you want to jump in and get involved, that's cool.
All right, well, how can people get in touch with you, Steve?
Well, I'll give you the website net when we get up and running, which should be in the next week.
Okay.
And then if you want to just put it on your page and link it to your page, we'll go, you know, people can see it and then, you know, say something again about it. But it'll be cool because once we're up and running, we're developing a shirt that we hope will take off in the mainland and help finance the rest of the project. It's going to be cool. It's going to be done by an artist. And then we have 4 other local artists who are doing shirts that are going to be sold for fundraising as well, that are pieces of art themselves. And Maui is filled with, you throw a rock, you get 3 artists and 4 massage therapists and 2 energy workers.
Well, it sounds like you're right at home, Blood.
There you go.
All right, well, keep us posted and let us know how it goes, and reserve me one of those hemp T-shirts, will you?
All right, sounds good.
We'll be in touch. Love you, man.
Bye.
There goes Steve Trueblood, the founder of Maui Hemp Fest 2012. We'll be giving you guys information if you want to support that. It's good news. It's a smart idea, and it's part of the solution. That's what we're doing here on the good news on Glenn Klein Online. That's going to do it for this Wednesday night. Want to thank Greg Amberge for calling from Cincinnati, Ohio, Dev Bronze from Atlanta, Georgia, Steve Trueblood from Maui, Hawaii, and Sean O'Halloran with his new smartphone, looking very smart tonight. Sean, just thank you so much, as always.
You're welcome. And happy 30th to my brother.
30 years old.
Yep.
Sean's brother. What's his name?
Kevin.
Kevin, happy birthday, bro. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition. We want to thank everybody for joining us. Let us hear from you this week at radio@glennklineonline.com. Until next time, this would be the Glenn Kline Online saying, Shalom, everybody!
You can't keep your fear of afterlife. How the hell is that supposed to help you find the light? And I don't need you preaching every day and night about the things I do and the things I don't. What I will, what I won't. There's fire in your eyes, sir, and it chills me to the bone. You say you got it figured out, and you seem so damn proud about it. I never really trusted folks who have to talk so loud. Thanks a lot, boy, but I'll be moving on. Yours is a hateful sermon, and it takes too goddamn long. See, life is short, and I'm gonna spend mine searching for the light. I am searching for the light. Yes, I'm searching for the light. I am searching for searching.
Coughing on the bass, singing all the notes, playing all the low ones.
Thanks very much. I get a kick about singing songs about hope and light in the den of iniquity, you know? It's the sound. They try to fool you because everything's a major chord out there. It sounds very happy, right? Everything's great as long as you're up. I'm up.
We said we're getting to some stuff that we haven't played on this trip yet, so we're gonna get Adam Angel over here to play us another tune and sing us a song.
Love the tiger.